WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Tuesday morning, and we can talk about whatever is on your mind at 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We've been talking throughout the morning about the Bristol County Sheriff's Office settling the lawsuit with the 17 ICE detainees that filed the suit following the May 1st, 2020 incident at the former detention center at the Bristol County House of Correction, the former immigration detention center, that the Attorney General's report, then Attorney General Maura Healey's report, said that these detainees were not treated properly. And so now they filed but 3 years ago they filed the lawsuit, and Sheriff Paul Heroux has agreed to settle that lawsuit. It was a $10 million lawsuit, and he has settled it for $800,000 using not taxpayer funds, but the money that is raised by the civil processes that the sheriff's office will do. So, like, you hire them to come and help evict somebody from an apartment. You have to pay them for that, and money like that is what has gone to pay this $800,000. You can read more about it at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, but if you have any thoughts on it, you can feel free to share them with us. There's another story that I wanted to mention, and I didn't mention it earlier on in the program because I know people get a little bit tired of me talking about the paranormal stuff, but this is a story that has got the attention of Southern New England. This is a story that has gotten the attention of the world. And this is a story that WPRI has been all over, and it is always the biggest story on their website when they share it. So people care about the Conjuring House story. I think for most people, they care about it because it's a train wreck, and they like to watch a train wreck. The current owner, Jacqueline Nunez, is a train wreck. There's no other way to put it. And I like her. I met her numerous times and got along with her. And she's been on this show. She's been on Spooky South Coast. I thought that she was the right person to own the house when she bought it. But, you know, things happen. And now, as we know, the latest drama. Well, so the house was supposed to go up for auction on Halloween. That auction got canceled because somebody bought the debt. So the reason why it was supposed to go up for auction is because she had fallen behind on her mortgage payments. And so the house was going to be auctioned off. Someone came in and bought the debt. So I don't even know how this all works. But from what I've learned is that debt, that money that is owed on the mortgage, the bank holds the mortgage of, say, so it was a $1.2 million mortgage that she got for this property. Let's just say that she owed $1 million, just for an easy number to work with. She owed $1 million left on that mortgage. The bank, when she doesn't pay that, the bank doesn't care who pays the mortgage. The bank doesn't care if Jacqueline Nunez pays the mortgage or if somebody else comes in and buys the mortgage out. The bank just wants to be rid of its commitment to her because she's not going to make these payments. You know, it's different if you've got a person who's making a payment all the time and you're getting the interest off of that mortgage. That's what you want. That's the ideal situation. But when she's not making the payments and they're not getting anything, they're looking at, wow, like, we're going to end up having to auction this house off at a loss And we're never going to recoup the difference. And, you know, we made a bad decision in giving her a mortgage. But when somebody comes in and buys out that mortgage, they buy the debt. Well, that allows the bank to say, okay, well, we made what we needed to make. Now it's on that person that bought the debt to worry about if she's going to pay it or not. And so as such, when somebody buys it, when they buy that debt, and she's supposed to now make mortgage payments to them, if she doesn't make those mortgage payments, then it's up to them to start the process of foreclosure over again. So you just can't pick up on the foreclosure that the bank was previously doing. So you have to start your own process because I guess they get a clean slate. I guess they get a chance to make those payments and not fall behind. So we knew that the auction got canceled because somebody bought the debt. Now, I was speculating it could have been Jacqueline Nunez herself, that she didn't spend her own money on buying the house. She got that mortgage because, you know, most business people, and she is a lawyer, but she's also a real estate investor. Most business people know you don't buy business ventures with your own money. So I was like, she got a mortgage, and now that mortgage is threatened, she'll just use her own money because she wants to hold on to the house. But apparently that wasn't the case. It wasn't her. And in the meantime, Andrea Perrin, who grew up in the house, who is her family is the subject of the movie The Conjuring. Her book series chronicles their life living in that house, and who now has stage 4 cancer. And we love Andrea. She's one of my favorite people in the world. I hope that you know, she's able to fight this off for a long time. But she's also looking at, you know, I don't want something to happen to me and then watch this house just become a tourist attraction that isn't respected and cared for. So she was pushing for Jason Hawes of Ghost Hunters to be the one to buy it. Jason originally said he had no interest in buying it. I've known Jason for a long time. I got to take him at face value. If he says he didn't have any interest in it until Andrea suggested he do it, I believe him. But when she suggested it and the internet kind of got behind it, he took it to heart and he started a GoFundMe. And he said he would put up some of his own money, but that they wanted to raise money on top of that. And they've raised about $300,000 so far on this GoFundMe. Now, if they don't end up with the house one way or another, then all that money will be returned to the people who donated it. Although some people have said, I don't want my money back. If you don't get the house, please give my money, my donation to Andrea for her cancer treatments. Whatever people want to do. They want to take it back. If they want to give it to her, whatever. But Jason is not going to keep the money if they don't get the house. So he started this GoFundMe last month, and it's already up to $300,000. The news came out yesterday, and he warned everybody, Jason did, that there was going to be some updates happening to this story and that it might be discouraging for the people that are part of this campaign, this GoFundMe. And he said, don't stay the course. We know that this is coming. It doesn't change our plans. We know that there was also interest in buying the house from comedian Matt Rife and his business partner in Paranormal Ventures, Elton Casty. So Elton is the guy who does the YouTube videos with Matt and, you know, kind of runs that side of things. But they work together. And so the idea was that they wanted to buy the house from Jacqueline before it was even a problem. You know, she was having some issues, but before it got to be really bad, they made an offer when Matt Rife moved to Rhode Island or was moving to Rhode Island, and she said no. I remember giving Elton her number so that they could communicate. And so the idea was, I don't know if that's where he got it from, but I sent it to him in a message on Twitter. And so they communicated with her. She said no. When all of this stuff started to go down, they expressed interest in wanting to buy it. And then whoever purchased the debt. Well, as it turns out, WPRI broke the story yesterday. It was actually Elton Casty who bought the debt. A real estate company that he owns, which I'm assuming, you know, Matt Rife is a partner in, bought it. And I saw something else. I didn't verify this myself, but I saw somebody else post that Matt Rife actually bought a trademark on the Conjuring House name. I don't know if that's true. But if it is, that's a very interesting move as well. So Jason Haas is saying, don't worry about this. Stay the course. Like, they only bought the debt. It doesn't mean that they own the house. We're still on track to be able to buy the house. But are you? Because why would somebody buy the debt if they didn't have the intention of getting the house out of it? You know that somebody wants the house. They bought the debt. So now Jacqueline owes the money to them. When she inevitably doesn't pay, I guess by law they have to put the house up for auction, but they can outbid anybody that bids on that property. They've got that kind of money. So if Jason Haas comes in and bids $1 million, they're going to come in and bid $1,000,001. So I think that this is, you know, setting them up to be the ones that own it. Now, there might be a whole behind the scenes thing going on where they might have an agreement with Jason where they say, you know, you keep raising money. We'll take that money and put it toward the operational costs to make sure that we can keep it open, even if we're not, you know, selling tickets, even if, you know, we've got issues with being able to get an entertainment license again because she got hers taken away, all that stuff. But there might be something behind the scenes that, you know, everybody's just being coy about right now. But it might also be that they, like, why would you buy the debt of somebody that you know isn't making payments on the debt unless the plan was to end up with the house in the long run? So anyway, we can talk more about that if you are interested. 508-996-0500. But we have another call here on the line. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. This whole Bristol County story, $10 million settlement.
Well, no, $800,000 settlement. It was a $10 million lawsuit.
How many inmates were involved in that?
There were 17 detainees who were on the lawsuit.
So there's 17, and they're all going to get a piece of the $800,000.
Yeah, after legal fees and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Legal fee. And who was the legal firm that represented these people, and how much are they going to get of the cut?
I'm not sure who represented them or what their cut is.
Where do we get more details about this?
Well, we can ask the sheriff. I mean, he might be able to provide that information for us.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have access to what their rate is, the lawyers.
Because, you're going to know the cost, how much it's going to cost to pay him, because he's got to pay him to Bristol County. Where's the money going to come from again?
So this comes from the civil processes that the sheriff's office does. So when you hire them to come and evict somebody or you know, anything you have to hire the sheriff's office to come and do that's outside their normal duties, you have to pay for that. So that money that they've raised from those functions, that's the money that's going to pay for this.
Maybe you can get him on your morning show.
I know he listens.
He comes out with Chris. But, I mean, we need to know more about this. You know, not enough. The Standard Times is just a shell of what it was. And, I mean, we get crumbs of the news stories.
So,
but $800,000 is no drop in the bucket either.
So Chris was busy yesterday, so I didn't get a chance to connect with him on this. But I can talk to him today and say, you know, do you plan on having the sheriff come on with you? And if not, I can see if he wants to call in to me because I know he listens to the show. So, you know, it's possible that he might just decide to call in on his own. But I don't want to step on Chris's toes because... Yeah, you know, he's got that relationship.
I understand that, but I mean, either you or him, have him come in and tell us, you know, how much these individuals are going to get each one, how much it costs for all of this, a law firm, and how much they got of the cut, because at the end of the day, it's Bristol County that's taxpayer dollars that are paying the salaries and paying his salary, too. So if it, I mean, because I know he comes on and he says he's for transparency and clarity, we should know all about this. And if you could do that, I'd appreciate it. Either you or Chris.
Sure. Well, no, we definitely can. And I don't know. So I believe that if you're paying a settlement, the settlement might say, and I don't know because I've never paid a settlement, but it might say like what the legal fees are for the plaintiffs. But I don't know if he would know the breakdown of how much each person is getting. We could just assume, you know, once you take the legal fees out, divided by 17. But
I'm pretty sure Bristol County Sheriff had a group of lawyers representing the sheriff's office. And I'm pretty sure he's got the data.
He did say that it's already cost them $200,000 so far, and that if they went to trial, it could cost upwards of $1 million to defend against this.
So according to him, $200,000 in legal fees plus $800,000 that he's going to pay out to the inmates.
Yes.
And the money's paying the other law firm that was defending the inmates.
Right. That comes out of the $800,000. So they've got to.
Right. But I'm saying he says he's already spent. The $200,000 came out of the $800,000?
No, the $200,000 was for the Bristol County Sheriff's Office lawyers.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It said so the county's on the tap for $1 million. The $800,000 payout plus the $200,000 that he had to have legal representation to defend the Bristol County Sheriff's
Not necessarily, because as he points out, it didn't come from the taxpayers. It came from these civil processes. Okay. But as he also pointed out, that's money that would have been used for something else had it not had to go to this.
All right. Well, he can come in and he can explain, you know, give us the breakdown. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Sure.
Thank you, Tim. Have a good day.
You as well. And that's the point that the sheriff kept trying to hammer home in his release, is that this was not taxpayer dollars that paid this settlement, but had they gone forward and had to defend this in court, that would have been taxpayer dollars, especially when you've got a $10 million claim from the plaintiffs, and there's no guarantee that the jury, if they found in favor of the plaintiffs, would only give them that $10 million. They could decide to give them more. They could award more money than the $10 million. They could also have awarded less. But as the sheriff said, that's a risk that he wasn't willing to take because that's taxpayer dollars and he's not gambling with that, was the phrase that he used. Nor did he want to gamble with the lives of the employees who are named in this lawsuit because, as he pointed out, if they were found to be in the wrong, then all of those people are liable individually because they're named as individual parties in this lawsuit. So it's not just the BCSO, and that covers everybody. Like, Tom Hodgson should be thanking Paul Heroux for settling this and using that civil processes money because he was on the hook for this. If they found in favor of the plaintiffs, he would have had to pay something. So he, you know, should be thanking Paul Heroux for getting him off on this, for getting him out of the possibility of having to pay in this. Again, they could have gone to court and won. But as the sheriff said, he didn't want to take that gamble. And he seemed to think that they didn't really have a chance of winning because he pointed out that the 14th Amendment guarantees certain things to ICE detainees, to immigration detainees, and that the AG's report said they weren't getting those things. So when you bring that to a jury, you know, the argument that Tom Hodgson made that the report was baseless and politically motivated, if the jury doesn't feel that way, then they just look at the logistics of it and they say, yeah, no, they didn't get what they were supposed to get. They weren't treated the way they were supposed to be treated, $10 million or more. Let me take another call here and then I got to take a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
So if you divide 800 by 17 inmates,
yeah, I mean they've got to pay. You know, they've got to pay the legal fees.
I know, but how much is that about? Just vaguely.
Oh, I don't know. You want me to do math? Hang on 1 second. Let me get out my calendar, my calculator.
Tim. So anyway,
that breaks down to about $47,000 per person. But again, you know, you got to take the legal fees out of that.
Right, but they'll probably end up with maybe 20,000 each.
Yeah, maybe a little more. I don't know how much the lawyers charge.
Now, what was the story on that? Because I don't know how to get that on.
This goes all the way back. You might not remember, but this goes all the way back to May 1st of 2020. So during COVID, they had the detainees. They had that immigration center back then, and they had the 287G agreement to house the ICE detainees. And the detainees said that they were being mistreated, that they weren't getting sanitary conditions, that they weren't being protected against COVID. And they had a bunch of other complaints. And so they acted up. They, you know, for lack of a better term, they rioted. And we actually have on the website, I know you said you can't get it, but on the website we have videos. All the videos that they released of that day, it's 30 different videos of what went on. So they destroyed the place. They broke a bunch of stuff. They broke windows and doors and beds and all that. But then when the attorney general's report came out on what happened, they said that the sheriff's office wasn't treating them the way they should be treated. And so that opened the door then for these detainees to then sue the Bristol County Sheriff's Office, among others.
You know what? They should be, that money should stay there for fixing the damage they did. That they should count as.
Yeah, that damage has been fixed already.
I know, but they should still be held liable for that. You know what I mean? They should be getting zero zip.
I mean, I guess if you are taking it to court and going before a jury, that's the argument that the sheriff's office could make, or the lawyers, they could say, okay, you know, you want to award them this money, but let's take out what it cost us to repair the damage that they did.
Yeah, and they'd be getting nothing.
And that's probably the formula they used to come up with this $800,000.
I don't know, but this is crazy already, and it's sickening. They don't deserve anything, really. They're getting enough.
Well, how do you know that, though? Because
they're getting plenty. You know who's going to be behind this? That Ondine Stiffen from Catholic Social Service, that attorney. She has to be involved in this.
I don't think she is.
No?
I don't think so. I haven't seen her name associated with it, no.
No? Because she could have just got the ball rolling.
No, there was a number of attorneys when this happened. There was a number of attorneys that were sending out press releases. I don't remember her name because I didn't hear her name until what happened in New Bedford a couple of months ago. But I just remember there being these different press releases that came out from attorneys that said that they were going to be representing these detainees. In fact, one of them, we actually have the link to the story. One of them actually called in. One of the detainees called in while Tom Hodgson was on South Coast Tonight and confronted him about some of the things that he was saying. So.
Yeah, well, you know what? These attorneys are trouble, too, because they smell money. You know what I mean? I just can't stand it, really.
They smell money, and that's their job.
Huh?
Well, that's their job, yeah.
No, they're about money, because I'll tell you right now, I got attacked, and I don't work
for the love of it.
I know, but listen, they go where the money is. That's what they do. And I don't care for attorneys because of that. I said to one of them, if I fell in Market Basket, you'd take the case, though, wouldn't you?
I mean, you know what I mean? Attorneys take a case based on two things. One, what is the likelihood of winning? And two, what is the likelihood of you paying them whether you win or not?
Right. So. They're about money. Okay, Tim. I'm glad I'm into God. Thank you.
All right. Have a good day. And sorry. Didn't mean to hang up on you there. We got another call coming in. Hang on, caller. I got to take a break, and then I'll tell you what. I'll skip the news. We can take a call, but we'll be back after this break.
Broadcasting live from the Carefree Home Studios, this is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com. Carefree Homes, trusted, local, family.
All right, it looks like the call dropped off, so I will go to the news. If you want to call in, 508-996-0500. And we'll get the latest from Mike Roberts, and then we can talk with you on the other side.
President Trump turning to McDonald's. Ted Cruz may be running for president, and the FAA lifting flight reductions.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump continuing to promote affordability as consumers navigate high prices. The president delivered remarks yesterday to an audience of McDonald's owners during its Impact Summit in Washington, D.C.
Chief executive and your chairman and everybody else, they tell me prices at McDonald's are coming down. It's moving down. Unfortunately, they were so high in the last administration that people aren't that happy.
Trump touted the fast food giant during his speech, along with praising the economy. The president has used McDonald's as a point of relatability amongst voters by working a drive-thru while on the campaign trail in 2024, and he served McDonald's to a college football team visiting the White House during his first term as well. There are reports that Senator Ted Cruz of Texas is laying the groundwork for another presidential run. President Trump was asked about it, and he says he's not surprised.
He's a very good guy. He's a very good friend of mine. You remember we had quite a campaign against Ted.
Cruz was the runner-up in the 2016 GOP primary, and next year he's hosting a donor retreat, according to a report in Axios. an Indiana homeowner is being charged with manslaughter in the killing of a house cleaner that went to the wrong address. Maria Florinda Rios Perez was killed on November 5th after she mistakenly went to the incorrect home in the Indianapolis suburb of Whitestown. And 62-year-old Kurt Anderson has been taken into custody and being held without bail in connection to the incident. According to the Boone County prosecutor, Indiana has a strong protection for self-defense, but those protections did not apply in this instance, as Anderson did not have reasonable belief that the type of force was necessary given the facts. According to Anderson's attorney, he is set to appear before a judge later this week, and he'll ask for bail. The FAA has ended its flight reduction order at airports across the U.S. A reduction in flights at dozens of major airports began a week ago to help address the fatigue and staffing issues among air traffic controllers during the record-long government shutdown. As a result, there have been just over 80 cancellations and 4,100 delays. The decision led to thousands of flights being delayed and canceled, coming as the busy Thanksgiving travel period is approaching. A Jeffrey Epstein accuser urging House members to vote to release files related to the convicted sex offender Alicia Arden, joined by her attorney Gloria Allred. At a news conference yesterday, Arden says she's learned that lawmakers in Washington are more concerned with playing political games than being honest with the American people. She called on Congress to vote to release the files so that Americans can see who helped Epstein. The bill to release the files could go to the floor this afternoon. Ford Motor Company is partnering with Amazon to try to sell used vehicles on the e-commerce's platform.
Customers in Los Angeles, Seattle, and Dallas will be able to browse and purchase Ford Blue Advantage certified pre-owned vehicles from dealerships in their areas. Ford dealers will be able to set prices and share vehicle information, while Amazon will allow customers to start paperwork online, secure financing, and schedule a pickup time for the purchase. Hyundai Motor Company began selling vehicles on the platform in 2024. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Ariana Grande and Cher headline the guests for Saturday Night Live's December episodes. Grande will serve as the host for her third time on December 20th. She'll be joined by musical guest Cher, who will perform on the show for the first time since 1987.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John C. Law.
Bruins lost to the Hurricanes 3-1 last night. The Bees back in action tomorrow at 10 o'clock with the Ducks. And the Celtics are in Brooklyn with the Nets tonight at 7:30.
Now your WPRI 12 forecast. Brought to you by the Ultimate Men's Clinic.
Mostly sunny today, windy, dry, and chilly. High temperatures this afternoon, mid-40s. Clear to partly cloudy for tonight. Late night temperatures down to 30. Morning clouds on Wednesday. There's some sunshine during the afternoon. Less wind and highs in the upper 40s. For WBSM, I'm 12 News Chief Meteorologist Tony Petracca.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Starting the show. I never.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We were talking about the sheriff's office settling the lawsuit with the ICE detainees. And you can read more about it at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. You can read some of our previous reporting on what had happened on May 1st, 2020. The fallout from that, the Attorney General's report, the cancellation of the 287G agreement with the Bristol County Sheriff's Office by the then Alejandro Mayorkas-led Department of Homeland Security. You can go back there and watch the videos, 30 videos that were released. We put them all on our YouTube channel, and I embedded the playlist in the story. So if you didn't get to see those, you can see those videos of what actually went on. And in his press release yesterday, the Sheriff Paul Heroux talked about, you know, why he chose to settle this lawsuit. Why he settled a $10 million lawsuit for $800,000, as he pointed out, without using taxpayer money. He put that in bold letters multiple times. It's from civil process work done by the BCSO deputies, including but not limited to court-authorized evictions for private parties. These private parties pay a fee to the BCSO for service of legal process performed by BCSO deputy sheriffs. And it says that the civil process money that the law allows the sheriff to use for any lawful purpose is the money that he used to pay to resolve this lawsuit. So, again, it didn't come from your taxes. It came from people who paid for this service. But he points it out number of times. He mentioned his predecessor. He doesn't refer to Tom Hodgson by name, but he says, you know, my predecessor is basically the reason why we had to do this. He says, my predecessor's decision to involve the BCSO in immigration enforcement left the citizens of Bristol County and the taxpayers of Massachusetts exposed to legal liability. Consequently, the $800,000 settlement deprived the BCSO of funds that the BCSO was going to use for other campus improvement projects that taxpayers would not have had to pay for. But as he points out, had we not settled but gone to trial, the $200,000 in legal fees would have likely approached about $1 million to try the case with no guarantee of victory, all paid for by the taxpayers. If we lost in court, we would have had been paying damages of millions of dollars, possibly in excess of $10 million, with no possibility to get the plaintiff's award from the state or federal government. Both the state and federal government said, we're not paying for this. The federal government is saying, no, you were acting as a state agency. The state is saying, no, you were acting as a federal agency. So with neither side there contributing to this, it was all going to come out of the Bristol County Sheriff's Office budget. And he said that settling was a responsible thing to do to protect the employees and the taxpayers. He also did point out that the settlement is not an admission of wrongdoing or liability by the BCSO or its employees. And he talked about how if they had gone forward and they had lost in court, 17 of his employees named as co-defendants in the lawsuit could be held personally liable for the alleged violations of civil rights. And that could be costly to them and their families. He says, as the senior most administrator in this organization, that is not a large gamble I can take with my employees' future. Furthermore, if we were to lose, the plaintiffs could be awarded much more money than the amount the BCSO settled for, because the jury could award virtually any amount of compensatory damages. I did not want to gamble with the taxpayers' money. And then he went into why the ICE detainees had a right to file the lawsuit. And it's because under Section 1 of the 14th Amendment, it states that nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. And as he points out, that's any person, not any citizen. So that's the reasons why he felt this was the right move. And we can get your thoughts on that. 508-996-0500. But I've got another break I got to get in. Let me do that. We will be right back.
Broadcasting live from the Carefree Homes studios, this is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com. Carefree Homes. Trusted. Local. Family.
Welcome back in. So when drains back up or septic systems fail, you know that that stress hits fast. But at Bass Ready Rooter, they know that you're not just calling for a service, you're calling for peace of mind. Since 1974, their family-owned team has been delivering fast, same-day solutions across southern New England. With over 700 five-star Google reviews, customers say that they are professional, clean, and relentless until the job is done. Bass Ready Rooter, they may not be your first call, but they'll always be your last. Give them a call at 508-995-8012, 508-995-8012, or visit bassready.com, B-A-S-S-R-E-D-D-Y, bassready.com. All right, we are going to be giving way to Chris McCarthy in South Coast Now in just a bit. He is back after his day off yesterday, and thanks to Ken Pittman for filling in, and Chris will have plenty to talk about with you today. I'm sure he'll want to talk about this settlement with the sheriff's office and the ICE detainees. And, of course, he'll take your phone calls. And as I mentioned earlier, because I got that question about with Bruce Oliveira's passing, what's going to happen now? How do they fill that vacancy now on the school committee? And I didn't want to put it in the story, and I didn't want to talk about it yesterday because it just feels like it's too soon. But it's a natural question for people to have. What will happen is the school committee and the city council come together and they determine who should be the candidates for that, and then they vote on it. And then that person will finish out the term, and that's the process that actually how Bruce Oliveira got on the school committee. When someone else stepped down, when somebody else resigned, he was, through that process, put onto the board. And then when that term that he was fulfilling was up, then he ran for the office. Somebody might come in and just fulfill the 2 years that are left on that term and then decide not to run. And in fact, the combined bodies may recommend bringing in somebody who doesn't have an interest in running, but is willing to do the 2 years. So that remains to be seen. I'm sure Mayor Mitchell will talk more about it with Chris tomorrow, but that's...
He's here with me today.
Oh, he's here today. So maybe he'll talk about it today. But that's the process of how it'll go. I got to get one more break in here before the end of the hour. We'll be back in a few moments. All right. So the mayor, Mayor Mitchell, will be here with Chris today at 11 a.m. instead of tomorrow.